Produced at CFIS-FM in Prince George, Health First is available across Canada through the National Campus and Community Radio Association.
Okay, welcome back to the second half of the Health First radio show. This afternoon, we're going to be speaking with Beth Darnell, the author of Opiate-Free Pain Relief Kit. This is a kit, not just a book, with a CD to induce deep brain-changing relaxation, and it's your personal plan for pain relief. Darnell's approach teaches patients to reduce their own pain and suffering, thereby reducing the need for doctors and pills. Beth Darnell, she's a PhD and clinical associate professor in the Division of Pain Medicine at Stanford University, and she treats individuals and groups at the Stanford Pain Management Center. As a pain psychologist, she has 15 years' experience treating adults in chronic pain and has lived through her own chronic pain experience. Welcome, Beth.
Oh, thank you so much. It's a pleasure to be here.
Good. So, you've got, what are opioids and why are they so harmful to pain and patients?
Great question. Opioids are a common prescription to treat pain, and they act on receptors in the brain to reduce the experience of pain, and they also have emotional impacts. So they blunt what we feel in the body, and they also will blunt what we feel emotionally. And this is one of the reasons why they can cause some problems. So there is a risk for addiction when opioids are prescribed, though this is not really the biggest risk that people have with opioids for chronic pain. The biggest risk is that they have a lot of negative side effects, such as disrupted sleep and hormone changes, and that these can then lead to complex medical problems over time.
Okay. What is the role of cognitive behavioral therapy?
Cognitive behavioral therapy is evidence-based medicine in the context of pain. And so this is a psychological treatment, and it focuses on how we think, how we feel, and the choices that we make every day. And what people learn through cognitive behavioral therapy is that there's so much power that we can harness through our mind, psychological power. And so what the treatment will do is help people learn what type of thoughts they're automatically having in the context of pain, and work to change those so that we're sure that we're steering things in a direction that's going to help keep pain as low as possible. Most people aren't aware of what's happening automatically in the mind because, you know, we just tend to be going about our day and not necessarily aware that we're having negative reactions to pain or negative expectation about pain or negative, that stress is impacting us in such a way that our pain is actually becoming worse. So cognitive behavioral therapy helps people learn about these hidden opportunities to reduce pain. Another part of the treatment that's so helpful is that people learn how to calm their nervous system through cognitive behavioral therapy. And as it turns out, that helps people have better control over their pain.
Okay. What's the first step pain patients need to wean themselves off opioids if they're on them?
So a good place to start is just becoming into good awareness about whether or not an individual is actually interested in weaning off of opioids. So you kind of want to arrive at that place of really being ready to try. It's important for people to know that if you go very slowly with tapering medication. So that means slowly decreasing a dose of medication, opioid medication. If you go very slowly with your opioid taper, you're less likely to have any negative effects, any withdrawal symptoms, any discomfort, any increases in your pain. So going very slowly is critical. And I always tell people, be sure you talk to your doctor before you make any medication changes at all.
So work with your doctor. What do you mean in your book by a patient's harm alarm?
Yeah, so pain is really designed to get our attention. If you think about it, I mean, we all experience pain, and you know, 100 million Americans alone have chronic pain. Around the world, about 1 in 4 to as many as 1 in 3 individuals have ongoing pain. So pain is your harm alarm, meaning it's designed to get your attention so that you can escape whatever might be causing it. So imagine if you stepped on a tack on the floor and you were barefoot. That pain's going to get your attention. It is going to motivate you to move your foot so that you don't injure yourself any further. So pain is very useful in that situation. But once pain becomes chronic, meaning that it's lasting for months and months and possibly years, once pain becomes chronic, that harm alarm is really a false alarm because it's no longer signaling that there is danger afoot that we need to avoid. Chronic pain is not a useful signal at all. It serves to disrupt our lives, but rarely is there actual injury occurring, almost never. And so the first piece of really gaining control over chronic pain from a psychological perspective is coming into really good awareness that chronic pain is a false alarm. What we need to do then is learn how to quiet the effects of that alarm in our brain and in our body. Because when we do that, we calm the nervous system and it actually reduces the experience of pain.
And that's what the opioids actually do when people are chronically on them too?
So opioids work to dampen the experience of pain, at least in the short term. One of the problems with opioids is that over time, people develop a tolerance to the medication, so they end up working less well over time, and often people will need greater doses of the medication because of that physiological tolerance. So theoretically, that's what opioids can help do. They can help reduce pain, but long term, not only do they work less well, but then they cause these other side effects that are problematic. So opioids aren't evil, but it's so important that we work to learn strategies so that we can minimize our use of them, so that if they are prescribed and if we do choose to use them, they will work more effectively at lower doses.
Okay. And when you say chronic pain is actually a false alarm, is that giving us permission to kind of work into it and maybe exercise a little, or what are your protocols to contribute to the pain relief outside of drugs?
Yeah, great question. So the idea is, for instance, let's imagine an individual has migraines. Well, when that migraine headache happens, it's not serving any useful purpose. It's not helping somebody get away from any particular kind of threat. And so, yeah, part of living with chronic pain and learning how to best manage chronic pain is helping individuals become active within the context of pain. So learning appropriate exercise, and that's really an individual thing based on what kind of medical condition a person has and what their level of fitness is. But we do know that exercise is some of the best medicine for most types of chronic pain. And many people will avoid exercise because they fear that their pain will increase. But if it's done appropriately, it actually can help with mood, it can help with sleep, and it can actually help reduce chronic pain itself. So I always encourage people to work with a physical therapist, talk with your doctor about how you might learn how to become more active at an appropriate level for you. Other than exercise, I already mentioned that cognitive behavioral therapy, working with a psychologist, can be incredibly helpful to help people begin moving forward with meaningful life goals. One of the worst parts about chronic pain is that it can rob people of roles and activities that are meaningful to them. And once those pieces of our lives go away, it sets us up to feel worse, to have a worse mood, and also to experience more pain. So part of the solution is actually to begin reclaiming those parts of our lives that have been set aside because of pain. And so working with a therapist can help you move, slowly move forward towards realistic goal attainment. That's so helpful. And the last thing I'd like to mention is that one of the biggest impacts of pain is sleep disruption. Most people who have chronic pain will tell you that they sleep poorly, and it's so important to treat sleep and help people to begin getting a better night's rest, because that will reduce their pain the following day.
Okay. How do you get your patients, once their pain is under control, how do you get your patients to prevent flare-ups again?
Again, there's such a big education component here. You know, we call this pacing. It's when, you know, pain sort of gets us to stop doing the things we love because we hurt, and we will be in a period of rest. And then imagine that you have a really great day, you feel good, your pain is low, and you're so motivated to accomplish all of those things on your list that you've set aside, to get those chores done, to make all kinds of visits and accomplish all kinds of tasks. Well, that will put you right into greater pain because you're doing more. And this is a really common trap for people, because then when you go into a pain flare, you're going to crash and burn and then have to recover. And for some people, that can be one day, or it can be several days of recovery that are needed following this period of overactivity. So a big part of preventing flares is actually smoothing out this cycle, helping people stay at an appropriate level of activity so that they're not getting into those cycles of overdoing it and underdoing it and overdoing it and underdoing it.
Okay.
That is quite chaotic.
Okay, Beth, we're going to get right back to you. We just have to take a quick break, and then we will be right back.